Hey, what's up? This is Mario with Rugged 33 Podcast, and excited today because I have a good friend. I call him John Bronco. We've been friends for quite a bit. Say what's up, John.
What's up? What's up?
Hey, well, let's tell the listeners how we actually met. I think it was, we won't say the pastor's name, but we'll just say in Whittier at a church.
Yeah. So I started going to this church, and everything was all new to me. And then I had this crazy Mr. Miyagi character showed up talking about all the good things he was doing in different countries. And I was just like, man, it'd be great to work with this guy, you know, and start doing the different things that he was allowing God to work through him to do. You know,
yeah.
And I just thought, yeah. I just started this church, and I mean, I just started going to this church, and you know, he was doing. I think you guys were on a mission trip to Mexico, yeah. And I was like, man, I wish I could go. And then it's all history from there, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And so the Mr. Miyagi character, that was my dad.
Yeah.
It's okay to say his name. I just didn't want to say the other pastor's name because you know how that goes.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
So I always forget about that. So you went on missions to Mexico with my dad.
Yeah,
how
I went
long
on
were
one.
You guys down there for?
No, we only went on. I only the first one. It was just people from Montana, and you guys were passing through. And then the second one, we all went. It was just me, you. And a few guys from the church we were attending at the time going down there. I remember we were doing baseboards. I think we went with your cousin, Ben.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember now.
And I couldn't sleep because your dad was talking about how he killed somebody while he was driving one time. And I was like, okay, I don't know this guy that much. And and so
no,
go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's. So what happened is, you know how Camp Pendleton is on the way to Mexico?
Yeah.
They're driving. It's a foggy night. He's going to go preach somewhere. I think it was probably in Escondido. And they're driving. Well, this drunk Marine tried to cross the highway. And the freeway, actually. And a car hit him. My dad hit him. And it was so foggy, they couldn't even, you know, see hardly in front of them. Anyways, my dad ends up pulling over and with another trucker and pulling the guy off the road. But he was done by then.
Yeah, your dad kept saying, I wasn't the one who killed him, but I definitely hit him.
Yeah, 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 that sounds like my dad. Yeah, and so yeah, it was a crazy story. I remember when it happened, and I felt so bad for my dad because he felt terrible at the time.
Oh, I can imagine.
Obviously by the time you talked to him, he was a little bit more chill about it. But well, yeah, definitely.
Well, one of the funniest stories about that trip was the owner of the vehicle we were going down there in, he fell asleep on the way to San Diego. So we're about to cross the border, and his whole thing was make sure we get Mexican insurance on the car before we go. So we pull into this little hut to get the Mexican car insurance so that the car would be, you know, covered in case it got stolen or, you know, ruined while we were down there. And we drive through and they were closed. And your dad goes, oh, I guess we got God on our side. And we didn't tell the guy until we were almost back home.
Yeah.
He never asked. Oh. So he never said anything.
Right. Yeah, that definitely sounds like my dad. I guess that's where I get it from. But yeah. So John, you're in Texas. What part of Texas are you in anyways? I always forget.
I'm east of Dallas. So technically we're in like the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but I'm definitely about 30 minutes from Dallas.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I was in Corpus and San Antonio, and that was quite interesting. I actually liked Corpus, but it was really humid, you know. And the worst part about the trip is I didn't even get to try Texas barbecue.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I guess because down there they're not really known for Texas barbecue. So I at least that's what was told to me.
Yeah, they're
And
more known
so
for their Mexican food, and up here we're known for we're like the bleed over area of the barbecue scene. Most of it's
Oh,
like
I see.
Central Texas, Austin,
Oh,
all that.
yeah.
But yeah, when I moved here, I was like, oh, I'm gonna try all these really good barbecue places. And then I spent the first year trying to find good tacos. Because up here, the Mexican food's horrible.
Yeah, the Mexican food down there is actually pretty good. I was really surprised because, you know, that whole thing about California Mexican food and Tex Mexican food. But I will say Tex Mexican food from further south, you know, it was actually really good. You know, I heard stories, but it was actually pretty good. Am I going to say it's better than California Mexican? No, come on, stop, stop, you
No,
know.
I don't.
So
I've never been into the flour tortilla thing. Like I even as a kid, it was always corn tortillas, and you know, it's just different. Like I don't really care for it. And even we go to a local place, we finally found good Mexican food, and I gotta make it a point to say corn tortillas, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they're huge into flour tortillas, but it was good, man. I mean, the food that I had, and actually, we ate a lot at home. And Marcos's mom, she cooked bomb, bro. She was like
Nice.
really good cook. So it was cool. But today, we are actually going over, listeners, we're actually going over a book. And I'm really, actually, this book, it's called, The Warrior Poet's Way. It came out in, I stumbled on it July 2023 by John Lavelle. When did you hear about the book, John? How did you hear about this book?
Okay, so the funny thing is I actually knew about John Lavelle way before he had a book. You know, he was doing his shooting classes. He does tactical training and operator training. That's his main business. And so I was looking for shooting classes, and I was looking for shooting lessons on free ones on YouTube. And so I found him. And what really attracted me to his whole message was the idea that you can be a dangerous, good man. You know, I didn't, I mean, I didn't, you know, you had your dad and all that stuff, but I didn't really have a father figure. Like, my dad was around, but he was a long haul truck driver, so he was never really there. And so I never really had a father figure like in the house. My mom had to be both, you know, people in my life. And she always surrounded me around, you know, I guess very godly people. And they were very strong men in God, like in the church, and you know, spiritually and everything. But I don't know why, but every time, you know, I had a role model when it came to church or something, in that aspect, it there was not really a, they weren't very dangerous in my mind. You know, they weren't the type of person where you're like, if something's happening, you know, someone's robbing something, you're not gonna run to them and ask them to save you. You know, it's not that situation. But you know,
Yeah, and
I and
I just let me cut in for a second. So, but the your background, because I want people to know, like, dude, you grew up in Southside Whittier, you know? And anybody that knows that area, I think, remember me and you, we were talking about it at one time. Like, one of the gang members from there, one of the homeboys from there, he was on the one of the most wanted list, like top 10.
Yeah. So
And
the interesting part about where I grew up is it, you know, by day it just looks like a, you know, like a Mexican or Latino, whatever you want to call it, neighborhood and everybody goes to work and everything, but there was a nightlife there and a night culture there that you know, there's so many different gangs and affiliates and that were always constantly just battling for, you know, territory or, you know, just the rights to be, you know, in that area, you know, just to live in that area, to congregate in that area. So, you know, my mom was real big on like, be home before the lights go out, you know. I don't want you running the streets, you know. My mom was pretty you know, pretty down with everything, so she knew people in the neighborhood. She knew, you know, if we were doing something we weren't supposed to, she already knew what was going on. You know, we didn't have to tell her. We didn't have to tell her that we were out, you know, drinking or whatever. She already knew. She knew if we were coming home late. She knew what was going on, you know. So, but yeah, but you know, I in high school, I end up moving next to this family, the Reyes family. Shout out to the Reyes family. And you know, they really took me in when it comes to like protection in the neighborhood. And they just you know, so I had these characters you know, to look up to in church, but I lived in such a kind of a dangerous neighborhood or dangerous type of neighborhood. And so I knew what real danger looked like, you know. So I also had this character that popped up into my life. He went by the name of Shadow. And so he was my friend Roland's dad. And this guy was the, you know, he was the dangerous man. You know what I mean? He was that guy, but he was not a godly man at all. He gave me my first tattoo. You know what I mean? And while he's tattooing me, he's, you know, very, very high, and he's watching, you know, a pornographic movie while he's doing it, you know. And so, you know, it gives you kind of a paint, paints a little bit of a picture of, you know, who Shadow was at certain parts of my life. And I remember this dude got out of, go ahead.
It reminds me of you reminded me of my first tattoo. My cousin Ben, aka Ollie, he's like, "Hey, you want a tattoo?" Because Eastside was just born, right? And he's like, "Hey, you need to get Eastside's name on you. Like, let's go." And so I was like, "All right." So we get there. This dude's like Vato Loco, you know, he just fresh out of the pen. Guitar string tattoo, you know, like that whole made up tattoo gun. He just gets finished doing Ollie or two. And then he's like, "Okay, bro, it's time for you. And you're not going to tell this veterano, you know, this old school guy, no. Dude, he starts right in on mine." And so, so me and Ollie, we still talk, you know, we talk about it, Ben. We're like, "Dude, I swear you better, you know, even at the time, I swear you better be clean. We're like blood cousins for reals now, you know."
Yeah,
Go
like
ahead.
that's really how it was, you know, like the gun was like homemade, and I mean it was all, and he tattooed my friend at the same time, like literally right before, and then he tattooed me. And I remember I fell asleep at one point, and he just jabs the gun into my arm. I mean, because I'm 16, you know, I'm in high school, and this is a school night. I'm sitting there getting a tattoo by a guy that's like completely like messed out of his mind. And you know, it just I mean, I'm not trying to talk bad about the man. Like you know, he really did take care of us. He you know, at one point I remember him saying like hey, you know, they called me Vito. They're like, "Hey Vito, you take care of my son, huh?" And I'm like, "What?" And you know, I guess it got back to him that, you know, we take care of each other. And he goes, "Whatever you need, mijo, I got you. I got you." You know? And so, you know, and I knew that meant something. You know, that wasn't like, "Oh, you need a dollar." No, it was, you know, if you need something, like I'm here for you. Like you have a lifeline here. And
Yeah, street code, Ben.
yeah, so I mean, to grow up with two polar opposites of people and not knowing where the middle line is, you know. So John Lovell's you know, message really stuck with me because I didn't know how to do both. And I knew to be a good dad and to be a good protector, I had to find a I had to find something in between, because obviously I can't be about that street life with my family. Hannah will not put up with it. You know what I mean? I can't do that here, you know? But at the same time, like, I have a family to protect, you know? A lot of the times I'm the only one around. You know, and so I had to figure out where that line was. And even to the point where I remember in Bakersfield, it was before we started attending the church there, CDC. I remember telling Hannah, I don't want to go back to church. I don't want to be involved anymore. And she's like, what do you mean? Like, that's not, you know, that's not the person who, you know, I married, you know, basically. And I was like, no, because they're suckers. Like, I
Oh,
can't be,
dang.
I can't
Preach
be,
it.
yeah, like I can't be around them because they're weak, you know. I have to be strong for my family, and there's that's that church is full of weak men, you know. And I mean, not talking about your the CDC, but I'm talking about like church in general, you know. We demat we're not very masculine with what we do, you know what I mean? And it's like, what's the most masculine thing I would see growing up in church was like everybody would throw on their old, you know, Packers or Dallas Cowboys jerseys for first for Super Bowl. You know what I mean? That's like the most like masculine thing we did. You know, every once in a while we go on a fishing trip. That's it. You know? And you know, it was never taught to be a man. It was always taught like, hey, be submissive, you know? Like it's all about being submissive. And you know, and so it's real hard to sit back and go, you know, that's what I want to teach my son. That's what I want my son, my, not even my son, my that's the kind of guys I want my daughter to be around. No.
Oh, preach it, preach
You
it.
know
I
what I
had
mean?
to. That's why, yeah, no, that's why I went to Texas because Sunny introduced, as you know, Sunny introduced me to her boyfriend at the time and fiance now. And you know, I wanted somebody who loves God, who could defend her when needed and give her a hug and be there for her you know, also emotionally.
Yeah.
And finding that balance, especially like I told Sonny, I'm
God,
like,
God bless
sometimes I
him, by the
feel
way. God bless him. I know Sonny. God bless that
right. You know Sonny. I know Sonny. And it's like, you know, I told Sonny, I'm like, I know you as a, you know, I'm your dad. I know you very well. We've been praying for your husband forever and a day, me and your grandpa and friends like John. And it's not going to be, the task ain't going to be easy, but I'm going to need, I want a man who's going to be able to care for her, love her, and give her space, you know, to be the godly woman that she is. And so it's going to be that balance. And I find it hard by far. I haven't mastered it. And in this book, I was reading the, you know, the Warrior Poet Way. That's what we're talking about. This guy was a Army Ranger, and so when I stumbled on it, I was watching reels on YouTube, and then I came across the book, and I listened to it on audio as well. And I was like, "Oh man, this is like perfect. It's speaking to me," because I had a dad that was, as you guys know, he was a pastor, but also, like, if he needed to, I knew that he could defend us, you know, because this is what he displayed. So not only was he a pastor, but he was also the defender of his family. And I remember my mom and dad talking, and we're talking over the dinner table, and you know, my mom allowed my dad, gave my dad that place to be like, hey, I need my boys to be able to defend themselves and hug their wife at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, and this day, you know, I mean, people are like, the in America, they're trying to, you know, to take away our manhood, you know.
Literally.
You know, it
Just kidding.
Any type of masculinity, you know, there's war.
It's definitely hard, and it's, you know, I've even had family members you know, come at me and be like, oh, like you know, I used to, you know, believe in a lot of stuff that, like, you know, just growing up in LA and stuff like that, I used to believe in a lot of things differently. And just because I
If you don't
was,
mind, but like, what does that mean? What does that mean if you don't mind sharing, like, maybe one thing?
one thing, I know it's like a hot topic and not a lot of people want to talk about it or anything like that, but, you know, one thing that was always kind of like a cornerstone of like my beliefs was, you know, abortion. Like, even though I was in church and everything like that, the culture of like, you know, so-called the right to choose and all that stuff, in LA and you know, around the area, I grew up with all women, you know, so like in my household, so that narrative was really pushed, you know, women's health and all that stuff. And it wasn't until I grew up and like really sat down and like watched different debates between people and actually looked up the talking points that I really learned that like that's not the case. Like, I was lied to, you know. I was always told that you know, it had to be legal because rape victims and you know, incest and you know, all these other medical issues. I was always told it had to be legal because of those, you know, all those people are going to be, you know, left without an option. They're going to have to raise that baby. Who are we to tell those people they have to raise that baby? And it's just not true. It's not true. I mean, I haven't looked into the statistics lately, but I remember at that time of my life, I was looking into them and it was less than, I think, 0.02% or 0.2% of all abortions were not just rape, but all the hot topics that people talk about, you know. And to find out there's, you know, 800,000 of these things that were happening that year when that statistics was taken. Like, come on,
Definitely.
man. We're not talking about the majority here. We're not talking about a hot topic button issue. We're talking about, you know, a dividing, you know, a dividing line between good and evil. You know, that's not okay. Our one job is to protect these kids, man. You know, they're so sweet, they're so innocent, you know. And like, I talk to my coworker all the time. He has a little grandson, and him and his daughter really butted heads, and they like, you know, separated ways for a little bit. And I'm like, I told him, I'm like, man, you gotta protect that little boy, man. Like, he sent me pictures of him. I'm like, dude, like, that little boy's so precious, dude. Like, just whatever you do, like, that's your job. That's your job, dude. Like, you don't. Like, I don't care about this job that we work. I don't care about none of that. Your cars, whatever. Forget all that stuff. Like, dude, that's your number one job, man. You know?
Yeah, definitely. So when no, I feel you on abortion. I believe it's definitely evil. So, you know, that's my thought about it. But getting back to the book, you know, when I was reading the book and it was talking about defending this guy start he's speaking my language. You know, the book it's an easy read, not that the listeners are dumb, but it's an easy read or easy listen. And it's it's a really good book. And so when I heard a dangerous man, you know, what a dangerous man looks like and how that matched up to what a godly man looks like, it looks one in the same, you know. Because I look at great men of the Bible, great men, Christian men, and I'm like, oh man, I mean, I look at David, but then I look at his faults as well, you know, to make sure that he was dead. They put like a beautiful woman in bed and nothing happened. And they're like, okay, the king's dead, you know? Like it just shows some of David's strength and his weaknesses, you know. And so when you were listening to the book and you heard dangerous man, how did that ring to you?
Well, you know, I like I said, I followed John for a little while before the book, so I kind of understood where it was going. But when I first heard him talk about that dangerous man topic, that's honestly one of the reasons why I got brought into the conversation with him and his audience was the dangerous man means something totally different to me. You know what I mean? When I was growing up, I just trying to be a dangerous man, but also, like, to hear that it's like you can also be godly at the same time was just like mind wracking. I was just like, okay, I want to know more.
Yeah,
Like
same,
I
same.
need to know more. And it's just it's just you have to. I mean, it's very similar to what you're dealing with, Mario. You know what I mean? It's like, we all forget all the things we get to do, over here, and how easy we have it, and I, hopefully that never changes, but it's not gonna stay that way by us, taking advantage of those situations. It's gonna stay that way by the same way it got that way, by dangerous men fighting for what they believe in.
Right, definitely. And yeah, I was talking to John about right before we came on, we were having a discussion, and I was telling him I went to school. You guys know I'm a fifth grade teacher. I went to school and I had on it was a really nice sweater and a zip up sweater, like the half zip up. And anyways, on the back of it has three crosses, like on the shoulders, the shoulder blade areas. And then on the front of it says BCHS, Bakersfield Christian High School wrestling team cross. Well, administration came in that same day and said, "This sweater is unacceptable. You cannot wear this here any longer." And then I'm like, "Oh man, right?" And my friend wore that sweater to work, like fly under the radar, And you guys got to remember, like 98% people here are Muslim, and less than 1% are Christian, and the effects of that. People react to it. I was telling John, sometimes I go running early in the morning because nobody's out. And I have on, again, a BCHS wrestling t-shirt, club t-shirt, and I'm running. It has a cross on it. And people are just staring. I met up with one of my friends. It's around breakfast time now. And she's like, "Dude, that sweater, that t-shirt gets so much attention here. Like, need to relax." So that's what John's talking about. And I really believe a dangerous man fights for his beliefs, right? And there's these specific qualities and attributes that we have of being a dangerous man. I need to be sensitive enough to love my kids, love my mom, my potential spouse, and be able to protect them as well, And what's your thought on that, John?
Well, I like the in the intro he kind of lays it out. He talks about how to be a warrior poet, we don't have to have the same beliefs, but we have to believe in something. We have to believe in something enough to fight for it, because without that belief system and something that we believe in so much that we're willing to lay our lives down for it. Who are we? We can't really be men. We can't. We're just, somebody, rolling through this universe,
So let me ask you this question, John, because you read the book. I read the book. It's amazing. Let me ask you this question. Society expectations on men. What does that look like? What are some of the things that you feel that are being put on as a man? You're like, "Oh crap. Are you there, John?
Are you there?
John?"
You
Yeah,
there?
I could hear you now.
Oh, my phone locked. It's weird.
Oh,
Anyways, yeah, that's an interesting thought, right? Because it's a little different in my home life, because me and Hannah, we, the things that he speaks about in the Bible, we believe in those things. I mean, in the Bible, in the book, we believe in those things. So it's we have an understanding of how the household's supposed to be, and how we're supposed to raise our children, and that when a bump in the night comes, it's my job to handle that. It's my job to provide. It's my job to do all those things. But at the same time, she has her duties as well. It's not it so although we have that understanding, now culture, it's totally different, because in culture, we're supposed to be equal. We don't have our roles, and we don't have our lanes to stay in, and they're so blurred that, but when there is a bump in the night, who's supposed to answer that call? It's
Definitely.
it and we don't we that and you see it all day long. You see it on these TikTok videos and reels and stuff. These guys that aren't stepping up to the plate, and it's sad. It really is. It's really sad. And that's why characters like, what was that guy, Andrew Tate, and Sean Strickland, and like all these.
I think your phone locked again, bro.
Can you hear me?
I could hear you now.
Okay. I don't know where I left off, but you see these characters like Andrew Tate and Sean Strickland, and they're saying these things, and some of the things they say are so off the wall and crazy, but there's a hint of truth to them, to the things they're saying. So it relates with that truth relates so much that people are willing to follow all this craziness on top of it. And so, but they what they don't understand is these people aren't saying anything new. These are things that have been around for, since the beginning of time, and we don't follow them anymore. We don't
No,
follow our lane.
I remember seeing, I saw a reel that was talking about, like, oh yeah, guys that own guns and they're just paranoid. They live a life of paranoia that maybe somebody's gonna break into their house and they're just hoping to use this, and I'm just like, oh my God, you're like, where is this coming from, And I look at it as I'd rather be prepared. It takes a good man. Let's just say we're talking defense right now. It takes a good man with a gun to stop a bad man with a gun. Why do I have to call somebody? I'm a man. I could defend my home, my children, my prospect wife.
Yeah, but even when you do call somebody, who do you call? A good guy with a gun. So why can't I be that good guy?
Definitely.
And so, I've had a situation, not I mean, it's been at least a year, close to a year now, where I had to pull a gun out on somebody, and it's like that moment wasn't fun. Like, I don't go around preaching about it. I don't go around asking for,
Yeah, this is my first time
doing all
hearing
stuff.
about it.
Yeah, so I mean, that's a perfect example, right? So, I would have told you, and it's like it's not something I'm proud of, and it's not something, if it would have happened, that I would have. I mean, it would have changed my life. You know what I mean? Having to shoot somebody and take a life like that, you don't you're not just okay after that. That's something you're gonna have to deal with. It's something your family's gonna have to deal with. So.
No, definitely. And this past summer, no, it was last winter, Isai stood home, and this was in Bakersfield, California. Somebody, while he's home with his wife and kids, somebody tried to kick in the side door.
Wow.
And I had told Isa, I was like, just, like even before that happened, like, hey, you need to get some home defense for your home. And so of course afterwards he went and got something for himself and his family to protect. And it was funny, I seen this other reel where this guy, they were talking about like red and blue states, and you know how that is right now in America. And so one guy's like really, there's not even really any blue states. There's spots of blue, right?
Yeah, it's true.
There's spots of blue, but for the most part, maybe cities are blue, but everything else, he's like, even in California, he's like, let me prove it. And it was John Lovell. John Lovell's like, if we put a protection, you know how he teaches tactical classes for home defense. He's
Yeah.
like, if I would put one out right now in California, it would be game over. We would be sold out within hours for
Yeah.
people to take the class.
And that's facts because I
And
tried to get into one of his classes one time. It's
yeah.
impossible in California. It's impossible. I had better luck flying to Georgia and taking one of his in his hometown.
I don't want to make it about red and blue. What I want to make it about is that we're human beings made in the image of God, right?
Yeah.
To protect also. And we are charged as men. Now, do I go out looking for it? Do I go out wanting to use my gun? People ask me like, "Oh, do you have a gun?" I'm like, "Yes, I have plenty of them, plenty of
Yeah.
them,
Well,
all of
who are
the most of
you?
the,
I
huh?"
said, okay, ATF. I don't need to answer that
Yeah,
question.
right. And they're like, "Oh, this guy's from Montana." They could buy it over the counter or privately. But anyways, it's like. Yeah, of course, I'm going to protect what is mine and what I believe is ordained by God to do, and I'm not saying it in an ugly way or in an ugly manner. I'm saying it in a protective, loving way, and a lot of times protection and discipline is love, and the society that we live in, they want to look at it as toxic masculinity and all these other crazy things. And I'm like, nah, man, that's not what, that's so far from what I'm about. I have a mom, I have a sister, I have a wife, I have cousins that are women. And I believe that we all have a part, that we were made for. So.
Yeah, we with the whole gun discussion, it's like what people don't understand is when people do carry guns, they are the perfect citizen while they're carrying that gun. Not just
Oh.
because not just because they when they have a concealed weapons permit. I mean, there's people that carry guns that aren't supposed to have them. Don't get me wrong. Grew up with a
Yeah.
lot of them,
Yeah. Don't say no
but
names.
yeah. They're all dead now. But
Yeah.
the important thing is, the when you carry a gun, your main focus is to stay out of trouble. The last
Yeah.
thing I need is to bump into the wrong person, start a fight, and then I have to defend myself with this, and it's not something anyone wants to do. It's the last thing we want to do. But it's proven. They follow traffic laws better. You know what I mean? They do all these
Yeah.
things, at a safer rate because they are, they're worried about losing their Second Amendment rights. We're worried about, who's gonna pull us over and what that cop's gonna feel like when he finds out I have a gun in the car, but I have to say this for everybody that does live in the States, that does live in an area that's you're free to carry or you can get your concealed weapons permit. Please train because you're useless to all of us if you don't train, if you don't go shooting. You might as well be carrying around a rock. Like it you're just you're a threat to us more than you are an asset. And it's that's we started this conversation. What was I saying? I was looking for shooting videos. There's videos all
Yeah.
over YouTube and YouTube, probably demonetized. But go look at them, go watch them. It will show you how to hold the gun, it'll show you how to shoot, how to aim better. and go practice. There's ranges out there.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, we do have a biblically, we do have a responsibility. We have an integrity, faith, strength, and courage. And last but not least, to be a servant leader.
Definitely.
And you know, those kinds of things I've seen in my dad for years, consistently for years. And sometimes I'm like, man, if I only had a piece of what he had, you know. And I know what the Bible says. It says, you know, oh yeah, you'll have a double portion. I'm believing it. I'm like, maybe in my older age it's coming, you know. And but that servant leader of at your home to be a protector, and not we've talked physically, but how about spiritually? You know, the word of God says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but spirit and principality. You know, and so we have a job spiritually to defend our home as well, and that is through prayer and fasting and being a good man, you know,
Yeah, and surrounding yourself with like-minded people, having somebody to we're all flesh and blood, you know what I mean? And we all have to like we all have our things we deal with, and so being able to talk to people about those things and really a good I guess friend structure where you they point you in the right direction, and I've been blessed enough to be around people that can do that for me, but it's just it's about actually reaching out.
No, definitely. I do have like my close circle of friends that help me in those areas, that they're strong, dangerous men in those areas, both spiritually and physically. This is why I know you train Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I want to, but here I'm afraid that if I get hurt, I'm in this country and it's a little bit different here. You know what I'm saying? And so I was a wrestler. I trained Brazilian jiu-jitsu. When I go home, I try to. I didn't this time. I only went, I think, once or twice this time when I was home, but I still watch videos. I still try moves and I run a lot. And then spiritually, this is why I get up early in the morning, you know, and I do my devotion. So as a dangerous man, we're supposed to be both, not only physically, but spiritually as well. How's jiu-jitsu going in Texas, man?
It's going good. I mean, I wish I could go a lot more. I mean, we talked a little bit about my work life and how I'm trying to really balance the two things, and it's just work's been so consuming of my time that I've been having to make the hard decision of, hey, even if I did get home in time to go to class, am I going to class or am I spending some time with Elias? And
How old is
I'll
Elias now?
Seven, he just turned
Oh
seven,
my gosh.
and I
Dang,
remember
dude.
that because he said that he wanted a 7-Eleven birthday. I don't know why, but that's what he said he wanted.
That's awesome.
But yeah, man, he's seven, and it's like he keeps me in check. I mean, at the end of the week, I mean, towards the end of the week, he goes, "Dad, you're working a lot. Like, are we gonna hang out?" And so, I mean, it's hard to hear, but it's something that I need to hear. It's something I need to remind myself that. At the end of the day, I have a responsibility here, and I can build the most beautiful house and have the most fancy car and all that stuff, but if I can't, if I lose my son, then what point? If I don't do my job, I don't handle my first ministry, like what's the point? There's no, there's I, that's the last thing I want,
Yeah, definitely. Or even be TikTok famous. Guys, you listeners, you gotta watch this video. It's hilarious. I'll see if I could post it to my Instagram. But John went TikTok famous without even wanting, if you know John, without wanting to be TikTok famous. Share with us the story, dude. Just like in short version, it's hilarious.
So basically, somebody was coming over to help me work on my truck, so I decided to clean out the back of it. And when I jumped in the back, it's an old pickup truck. It's 1966 Ford pickup truck. It slips out of gear, starts rolling down the road, down the driveway, into a street, and I jump out the back, fall over, my cracks all hanging out. I roll to, I do a roll, get to my feet and chase this car down the driveway. And I mean, as soon as I saw that my Ring camera caught it, I was like, man, I can't show this to anybody. I was so embarrassed about it. And I was like, oh, you know what? If it brings happiness to people, I'll share it. And so I shared it. And I think even on the original post, I was like, I know I'm going to catch so much crap for this, but I'm just going to share this. And it's just been a hit every time. People steal it. People put it on their Instagram pages, and then they get like a million views on it. I think it's hit like three different pages. People that I've bought in car parts from, they've shared it, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's everywhere. And
It's so funny. Me and my friend, we were watching it last night and she's dying laughing. I'm like, mind you, the video doesn't do it justice. My friend John, he's a big boy, but he's athletic. Yeah, he's a wrestler, you know? He's athletic. He does the role. You guys got to see it. I'll see if I can post it to my Instagram. But it's hilarious, man. What do the kids say about it? Because not only John, he has one son and two daughters. How old are your girls?
My oldest is 12 and my youngest is 8, I believe. I get
Oh,
their birthdays mixed up, but
Roman, you're a great dad, bro.
I
It's
know, but
okay. I
they
do
don't
the same
listen to
thing.
this, so we're good. It's so funny because during COVID, they got really into America's Funniest Home Videos.
Oh,
And
God.
they were watching the old ones on, I think it's on a Disney Plus, and they just went crazy. They're watching them like over and over again. And then one day, one of them sees the video, and they're just like, "Dad, you got to put this on there." And then so they sat there and they walked me through to upload it to the website so that it can be on the show.
Oh,
They
wow.
were obsessed with it. And then like they'll ask me every like month or every other week. They're like, "Dad, did they email you back? Dad, did they email you back?" They think it's the most funniest thing in the world. And I'm just, I mean, that's why I
That's
posted it. I
hilarious.
want people to laugh. I want people to enjoy it. You know, it's hilarious. It is funny.
Well, yeah, that's why I wanted you on the show too, because a lot of people, you got to know John. Like, he's freaking hilarious. He's like one of my funniest friends ever. And I even told him, like, before we got on the podcast, I'm like, bro, just be yourself. Like, don't censor yourself. Just be yourself, because it's hilarious. He has this one story, and I'll let him tell it, and then we're gonna be done because we're at the 47 mark. But hey, tell us the story about when you walked in that church and people were actually sword fighting.
Oh man. So we used to travel to different churches as a kid with our grandmother and all this stuff. And I remember going to this church and I saw like all this like almost play swords and stuff like that. And I thought that was so cool. I thought like I want to play with the sword. But what I didn't notice was in the middle of church, these guys are having like straight out fighting duels with these fake swords with spirits in the middle of praise and worship. Oh man, it was the weirdest thing. And it to this day I don't quite understand it. But hey, I mean,
Yeah, they were probably
everybody.
non-denominational, you know. They give us non-denominational guys a bad rap.
Yeah. Who
But the
knows?
funny,
Everybody has to practice martial arts sometime, I guess. I
right,
don't
even in church.
know.
Well, the funny thing is, yesterday, I don't know if you know that this comedian John Chris, you know what guy I'm talking about?
I think so. I probably
It,
remember his name. I mean, his face more than
it, yeah.
anything.
Yeah, tall, skinny dude, dark hair. He always talks about Christianity. He's a Christian, but he's
Oh,
not like
okay.
a. Yeah. He's
Oh,
really
he's the one
famous.
that used to do like all those Chick-fil-A videos like a long time ago. And
Yeah,
yeah,
Coach
he got like
videos.
Instagram famous like first, right?
Yeah. So yesterday I watched his stand up, and dude, it was hilarious because he was just. messing with denominations and Christians. It was, but it, you know, it was funny. It was tasteful, but it was, yeah, it was like, oh, so you're not, it was, and he was in Texas, so you could only imagine, you know, the Bible
Oh,
belts. Yes. So you got to watch the video, but I thought it was hilarious. But hey, we're coming to a close. Listeners, next week, we're gonna have John back on again. We'll actually, we're basically just reviewing this book, and you guys should definitely check it out. You could get it on Audible, you could get the paperback. I thought it was a good idea. John told me that he wanted to get a hardback one for his son. And again, the book is called The Warrior Poet Way by John Lavelle. And so peep it out, check it out next week. We'll come in, we'll talk about the second chapter and what that looks like, what it means to be a dangerous man. And I hope you guys enjoyed the show. I want to say a shout out to John, his family, Hannah, for putting up with you. Oh my God, she's
I know.
definitely, she's a saint. You know, if we were Catholic, they would definitely make her a saint. And
Yeah,
then the kids.
her mom once told me that we were gonna have a litter of Mexican children. So, I mean, we all have our cross to bear.
Well, the listeners don't know that John is like half Mexican, half white, yeah? Yeah, something like that. And then his wife is like straight from like, well, where you met her
She's
in
from
the OC, right?
Tehachapi. I
Oh
met
my
her in
gosh.
Orange County, but she's from Tehachapi, which is
Yeah.
funny because we
So,
ended up in Bakersfield at one point. But
right.
it's a little mountain town, mo like I want to say probably 99% white. And
Yeah.
anybody that lives there that's not white, usually they were probably staying at the prison that was there. So
Right. And her
it's
name is Hannah.
her
So
name is Hannah.
that should just tell you a little
But
bit. So,
my Hannah can cook. She spent
oh,
a lot of time with my wife, with my mom, and she
your
can definitely
wife.
cook.
Whoa, bro, you're going down that direction or what?
Oh man.
You're like, I can barely handle one.
You move out of your mom's house and you become
Yeah.
one with your wife.
Yeah, no, I get
But
it. I get it. But listeners, thank you. We'll get into more in John and Hannah. It's dude, their story's just crazy and fun, and it's good time. So guys, girls, check out Warrior Poet Way. Amazing book. We'll come at you guys next week. I hope you guys liked it. Peace out. Thanks, John. Talk to you soon.
no problem.
All right, bye.